Let's do it.
Whatever's next, let's head. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And for many of you who are familiar with the program, that translates into what's happening outside right now. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the notes and some of their significance in the long term. One of the first notes that I have, dating back to a week ago, was that I was seeing more and more pussy willows opening up. And I went back and looked into my records, and typically first pussy willows sometime late in February, no change there, although there's always that one bush. And if you're carefully observing, you're going to find a bush somewhere out there whose pussy willows open up in November. And I had one on my mail route that I checked all the time. I now have one on the west side of my garage that is prone to putting out a few fuzzy buds in November or December. But in the last week, it has really opened up. And that seems to be about on schedule. I was checking my records. It looks like the 22nd of March is sort of the average date for there to be pussy willows pretty much visible everywhere. And then the last few days, just driving around a little bit, I have been able to check out and see bushes with the little white flowers on them, the little white fuzzy furry buds coming out just all over the place. So in the next week or so, I would think that just about all of us will have a chance to see some pussy willows somewhere. And if you do, and if you have a pocket knife, go out and cut a few and bring them home. And if you have more than enough, stop by one of the places like River Grand or Grand Village or just in your hometown. If there's a place where seniors are gathering and either living or just visiting each day, take a bunch there. When my mother was alive, I used to gather up a great handful of these things, and I'd bring them in and I'd lay them on a table, and within about a half an hour, they would all be gone. Everybody would grab some to take to their room. So, if you want to do something nice for some old folks in your area, and you want to trim a few pussy willows, now's a good time to do so. They are going to be spectacular in a week or two. Some of you may recall last week we were talking on air when my wife presented me with a deer tick wrapped in scotch tape. And that's how I like my deer ticks, by the way, wrapped in scotch tape. It sort of limits their mobility, and that's a good thing. But it's worth noting that with the warm temperatures that we're having, you want to make sure that you and your dogs or cats are protected from deer ticks, from Lyme disease. So take the proper precautions. Tuck your pants into your socks if you're going out in the woods, and make sure your dog has got the right medicine or a flea and tick collar, some kind of protection against deer ticks. It'll be a month or more. Where are we? This is the 16th of March, 16th of April, 16th of May. It might be a month and a half or 2 months before we really start seeing a lot of wood ticks. But the deer ticks can be active just any day that the temperature climbs above 40 degrees. So watch out for deer ticks. They're out and about, and you should be aware of that. As the snow retreats, one of the things that always comes to my eye is, and this is in mostly in ditches or in yards as they descend into swamps, anywhere that there's soil that is likely to be saturated, you want to look now and see if there aren't these big black piles of dirt all around in your yard or in the ditches near where you are driving. These runs of black dirt piled up. Chances are it's a star-nosed mole. Now, this little critter is an amazing little animal, 22 little fingers out front. They're called papillae. Those are what give it its common name, the star-nosed mole. And those are very sensitive, more sensitive than your fingers. And that's how they perceive the world. They dig with their strong front paws. If you ever come across one of these things, and I've never found one. Well, I've seen them live, but I've never captured one live, and I'd be reluctant to do so. But they have these unbelievably massive front paws that are built for digging, and you should check those out if you find a dead star-nosed mole. And oftentimes, dogs will capture these things, kill them, and then just leave them. They don't eat them, and so you'll find them around here and there from time to time. Give them a close look. They're well worth discovering more about this star-nosed mole. I've still got evening grosbeaks coming to my bird feeder. They kind of disappeared for a few days, but now they're back, and I have a little flock of evening grosbeaks that hangs out here. I've seen them all this last week and including yesterday, so they haven't gone north yet, but I'm watching them. And anytime you're looking at something like a bird like the evening grosbeak or a northern shrike or what are some other examples? Well, one that's going to be coming up here very soon is the junco. But these are birds that sort of pass through or spend the winter here and then disappear up north. And it's sort of hard to keep track of them. So oftentimes what I do is, like with the evening grosbeak, every day they show up, I put a note in my book. And one day, there won't be a note. And then it'll go on to 2, 3, 4. And finally, after a couple of weeks, I will realize that way back 2 weeks ago was the last time I saw an evening grosbeak. And that kind of gives me the mark of when they move north. So I'll be watching them, and we'll be probably talking about them until they finally do move north. And speaking of watching, I have a bald eagle's nest a couple hundred yards from the house, and I can see it with a spotting scope, and I have been watching it assiduously since about 2 weeks ago. And last week, I spent a lot of time watching the nest and watching for the bald eagles. And they came and they messed around at the nest and they left, and then they can't come back. And last Thursday, I watched, they were both on the nest midday, and I was excited. I thought, well, maybe she's laid an egg in there and she's getting ready to brood. One of the eagles flew off from the nest and the other stayed behind and played with a stick here and there in the nest and just kind of moped around, but just sort of, you know, looked at the nest and tugged at a stick and did this and that and then flew off. And that was last Thursday. And so I was assuming that, well, she wouldn't have left the nest if she had an egg. And I watched and I watched and I watched on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was checking all the time, just every chance I got. My spotting scope is on a tripod, sits on my deck. I'd walk by, I'd just dot my eye to the lens, have a look. Nope, she's not there. Sunday, she laid an egg, or she must have laid an egg, because since Sunday, she has been on the nest steady. So I have now an eagle who is sitting on an egg, at least one. And the habit of the eagle is to lay an egg and begin to brood it immediately. And then she will lay a second egg, either a day or 2 days, maybe 3 days after the first. And she may lay a third egg a few days after the second egg. But that asynchronicity of it gives the advantage to the firstborn. And this is typical of a lot of accipitors, a lot of birds of prey. They lay that first egg, they start brooding. And so they give the first egg an opportunity to hatch and grow before the others even hatch out. And the reason for that is that if mom and dad have a good year and they can bring all kinds of food to the nest, the firstborn will get fed, the secondborn will get fed, and the thirdborn may get fed. But if mom and dad have a tougher time of it and they can only feed one, the biggest one is going to eat. And the second biggest one and the third biggest one, if they're there, are going to starve and may get eaten by the biggest one. And that's just the way it works out. And the reason for that is that it's important to the parents that one survives. They'd like to have two, but if they can only bring in enough food for one, well, at least that one will survive. So I'll be watching. 35 days is the average incubation time on that, which puts the birth of that eaglet around the 18th of April. And you can believe that between now and the 18th of April, I will spend more than my fair share of time peering into that nest to see how my eagles are doing. Yeah, my eagles, I get that. Last Thursday, you may recall, we had 6 inches. I had 6 inches of nice snow. It was an unusual snowstorm because it started off the night before as sort of rain and then a rain-snow mix. And then there was about 3 inches of really thick pancake batter kind of snow that fell. And then another 3 inches fell on top of that. And that stuff was light and fluffy. So it got colder and drier during the night. And the snow was bifurcated. There were two layers, one soft and fluffy and easy to move, and the other sitting underneath. It was like cement, as one of the students described it. A nasty bit of business. And that was something to shovel. I shoveled my deck and I shoveled my sidewalk. And beyond that, I was like, I'm going to let it melt. And as of yesterday evening, most of it had. There's still probably 50% of it sitting there, but we will see the end of it, and I will be very happy for that day. Also, this past week, I had a couple of interesting birds show up. I had a common red poles. I haven't seen very many all winter. In fact, I saw one up until March 12th, and on the 12th, I had 6 or 7 under the feeder, but they didn't stay. They came, they ate a little bit, and poof, they were gone, and I did not see them again. Crows, I saw a flock of crows the other day. First time I've seen a flock of crows around this area. Probably migrators coming back. That's my guess, though I can't say for sure. And the other thing I've noticed is that the paper birches are really starting to get red right now. And I know you're thinking birches, they're white. But if you look at the tops of the birches, you will see that the new growth, the distal branches, are quite red. And that is typical of birch. And if you look across a lake, for example, and you see those white trunks, look up into the canopy, and the overall picture will be red because that's what's happening to the birch right now. And then I came to that walk I started telling you about much earlier. On the 14th, I went out for a walk and I had no hopes. I mean, I just was walking because I was needing to get out and move around a little bit. And I wasn't very far from the house on Sunday, and I heard a grouse drumming. And that was the first grouse drumming for me for this year. And that's a very, very wild moment. It's one of those moments when I just am so thrilled that I can hardly believe my good luck. April 3rd is my average date for first grouse drumming. And so this was a bit early this year. Whether it stays that way, we'll have to wait and see. It was 20 days early from that date that I saw my first or heard my first grouse drumming this year. In 2017, I had another 20-day early moment and 24 days early in 2010. So some of those years early, and then 25 days late in 2013, which was a really cold spring, and 18 days late in 2018. So it varies around, but April 3rd is my average, and it was kind of neat. So I walked along a little bit, and I came to a spot on the trail where a tree had fallen, and there was a broken branch over my little trail, and I picked the branch up and threw it to the side, and right there was this big old aspen log, probably 22, 24 inches in diameter and maybe 16 feet long, covered in sort of laced over the top with hazel brush. And as I threw the branch off to the side, the rough grouse that I'd heard drumming took off and flew from right there. And if I hadn't thrown the branch, I think he would have just let me walk right on by and never moved at all. But now I know where his log is, and I'm going to go back and be checking that out. So that was pretty thrilling. And then I went out to the lake, and there were 7 trumpeter swans on the lake. I talked to my neighbor Marvin, and I was telling him about this, and he said there were 7 of them. I, how did you know? He said they flew over my house. I saw them. So there were 7 trumpeter swans out on the lake, and that was neat. And that was also the day that I heard a pair of Canada geese fly by, sort of checking to see if there was open water. And you probably are experiencing the same thing at your house as well. The Canada geese are out looking for open water right now, as are probably mallards and the trumpeter swans. Everybody's looking for a little bit of open water. The trumpeter swans are kind of odd. They land in the middle of the lake on the ice. And I've talked to a number of people who have seen this, so I know that it's not just ones here. It's quite a variety of them that come around and do that. So that was pretty exciting. And then I get back to my house. Well, I've seen and heard the ruffed grouse, trumpeter swans, geese, and I'm walking on the trails and I find turkey tracks in the snow. Now, I have never seen turkeys around my house. I've heard them gobbling in the springtime, but I've never seen them. And here there were turkey tracks in the snow. And I checked and I could see where the bird landed and where he walked in the snow. And then I checked around this little dry open spot where he had gone in. And there were coming out of that into the snow and disappearing into a black spruce swamp were 3 sets of tracks. Now, I did not know that turkeys hung out in black spruce swamps, but there are at least 3 of them out in my black spruce swamp, or were 3 of them out there at one point. So that was pretty exciting. I came home just thrilled. And I was talking to Denise, my wife, and I was just like, and then I saw this, and then I saw that. And while I'm talking to her, a red-winged blackbird, the first of the year, landed on my bird feeder. So now I have red-winged blackbirds back as well. And they typically come back about the same time as the robins. So I don't know where the robins are, but I'm going to be watching very carefully for them. So that's the Phenology Show for this week. I have a couple of things I want to talk about coming up in the next week or so. Some of the green plants that are out there. If you're out walking around, this is a good time to look for green, because those plants that are green tend to be evergreen. And this is how you find trailing arbutus. This is a good way to find different sedges like the Carex arctata. Good time to find ferns that stay green through the year. So get out, walk around, look for the green, and then try to figure out who they are and why they are. All right. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back again next week.
You can. can catch Phenology at our website, kaxe.org, or sign up for the Phenology podcast through our website as well. Students in classrooms on Wednesdays listening to your report, John, and listening to your comments on their reports. Very cool that students are getting inspired by nature. We'd love to have you join us. If you are a teacher, get in touch with us. Send John an email. He can help out and get you curriculum. JLatimer@kaxe.org.
Thank you, Heidi. Yeah, I would love to talk to any teacher, homeschooler, whatever. If you're interested in getting Phenology going with your students, let me know. I'd be happy to help.